So, my opinion is, right or wrong, I'm not too certain anyone understood anything about patterns, as I discussed last week. Or does anybody out there understand everything I'm talking about?
I could never say yes to that.
Does anybody out there understand anything I'm talking about?
No, I don't know.
What is this pattern crap all about?
I suppose our life is presenting, well, what? Well, I don't know. Like, how do I say this? We're working our life in patterns?
I don't know. You're supposed to be telling me what I'm saying. Now, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
If the universe is mind and mind is data information, what is information?
Patterns of data. Assemblies. Connections. Linkings of data.
Patterns of data. It is not information as in, and I think the universe will intentionally say this.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Oh, wait, I didn't know we were starting already. So I got a question for you then. My bad. What did you say here? Something about information? If the universe is data and information, what is information?
Yeah, and you said it's patterns, and I said...
Well, actually, I changed it, and I said it's actually something like linkages or assemblages of data. And the reason I said that is because a pattern sounds... I don't know, maybe it's not intentional. I guess it's not intentional.
Okay, but a pattern...
Because memory can create patterns that are not intentional.
Anything can create patterns, right. Anything can create patterns. But what I said, it's not intentional, like, say, the universe saying, well, I'm going to say this, so I'll create information. So, in fact, when we talk about data and information, we mean data and information patterns.
Okay.
So that the universe does not function on information, it functions on patterns.
Okay.
And that events are random pattern. You see,
so events don't show you how you're living your life. They're just random occurrences.
Well, no, because...
They don't reflect.
They're not intentionally showing you anything, but...
I understand.
The events as you perceive them or particularize them in your life, then you've converted that into specific information for you, have you not?
I guess so.
So... But the point of it is, if you want to understand the universe, you must understand patterns. If you want to understand or get in harmony with the universe, if you want to discuss or know yourself as an eternal being, then you must get in touch with and understand patterns. Patterns, patterns, patterns. It's information patterns, not information specific.
Why do you make that distinction?
Because information distinct in that is like an intention. Can it be a pattern that is not, or can it be a pattern of information that is not an intention to say this or to say that?
Yes, it can.
So then, but we think that the universe is saying this in this law or in this way or saying that in some harmonious or disharmonious way or saying good or bad or right or whatever. No. The universe only speaks in patterns. You may take the information patterns and convert that into a language. For instance, I was thinking about this today. Our birds here speak in volumes, intensities, and etc. And yet all the birds here know what is being said. It's just a pattern of bird screeching, let's call it that. But they know completely what that means, apparently, because they're all reacting the same way at the same time. Whereas you, using language, convert the patterns into a language information pattern. What happens if your language information pattern is not consistent with the pattern of the universe? Are you not then, since you have to live in the universe, likely to be in a struggle with everything around you? And is it?
Yeah, that makes sense, but I got a question for you on that. I thought the universe doesn't work. I thought it works the way I work it. Well, it doesn't work. I work it.
That's right, but that is, it patterns, but you work the pattern.
Okay.
Work means, as I said then, as an intentionality.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Roger, how can I be in conflict with random patterns?
What?
That's a good question.
Because you think that the patterns are saying one thing or meaning one thing because of your language, and that may not be true.
So I don't have to, never, ever, ever have to sync with the pattern of the universe. Is that correct?
In a sense, that's true. In one regard, yet in another sense, it is in learning or understanding or seeing the patterns, whether they are of the universe, whether they are seemingly intentionally caused by a god or randomly caused, by knowing that pattern and being sympathetic with that pattern, you ease your life.
A pattern of the universe could be that gravity and mass operate in a certain, seem to work in a certain way.
That's right. But then how you use gravity and mass in your life is your particularization of the pattern. Mm-hmm. So the universe isn't saying use gravity and mass in a certain way. It isn't saying this is the law, it's just following that pattern.
Okay, yeah.
And if you don't, in a sense, now, the patterns that the universe follows in that regard, what I tried to indicate last week, and we'll get into it more, the patterns that the universe follows provide you a constant, so you have an awareness, but never interfere with how you choose to particularize that pattern. Boy, let me ask you this. Do you understand from last week that the story of the creation of the universe is just a meaningless story? Is anybody out there?
I think you said that it never could be proved.
But then the story is a meaningless story. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Yep. I am.
But, and there's always a but, the pattern of that story is deadly. Do you understand that?
The pattern is one creating God.
What?
Is the pattern one creating God in that story?
Isn't that the pattern of the stories that I read? That the pattern is that there is a God that created everything, and in that the creator is responsible for cause and effect, for oneness, for right wrong, for judgments, for language and time of language, and of every other thing that follows that original pattern. The story, if I call it God or somebody else or a power, the story itself is meaningless. I can tell it in a thousand different ways, which it has been told in a thousand different ways, but the pattern that is the pattern of the story, that a single creator, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, omni-everything, created everything, that's the pattern, and everything that downflows from that pattern, that is, are you willing to accept that from that pattern, that it is a deadly pattern?
I'm willing to accept that.
It's a deadly pattern because in that pattern, in that case, you can never be and live as you desire. You must be and live as this big creator created. There's an old, in the construction business, that there is an old saying that he who provides the money makes all the rules. Well, in that story, he who has all the power makes all the rules. For and against you. That's why it's deadly. You can never be following that pattern of creation. I don't care how the story unfolds at all. It still is the pattern of single creator that is deadly. You can't be in live as you truly desire. Because even if you say, no, I can create my own universe, okay, fine. Let me see you do it. And even if you say, I'm doing it simply because I'm interpreting what is there, then you're not creating your own universe. God still rules. Are you willing to accept, maybe, that what you believe trumps everything you might know or discover?
What I believe, what was the word?
Whatever you believe trumps, that means it overpowers. It is superior to anything you might know. What you believe is stronger. I took this up several years ago in the difference between believing and knowing, and showed you that believing is stronger than knowing. And in that case, no matter what you think you know, what you believe will always win out. And if your belief is based on that meaningless story about the creation of the universe, and it is, then that pattern of the creation of the universe wins out no matter what it is you think otherwise you want to do. You can't do it. You cannot change your beliefs, and you cannot overcome your beliefs. There is nothing in the universe. You will die before you will change your beliefs. You didn't want to hear that, did you? Well, the question is, how have all these beliefs worked for you in your life so far? I'm laughing because Ewan's here. Jennifer's not here tonight, but we got Ewan. Is this okay with everybody? No matter what you believe, your belief will trump everything, subconsciously, down underneath, whatever it is. And unfortunately, what you believe is based on the pattern of that original creation story. You lose. everybody, no comments, nothing? Nobody wants to bitch about that? Nobody wants to complain about it? Well, the question then is, how can I get you to set down the pattern of your beliefs long enough to see and consider a different pattern? See, I didn't say set down the beliefs. I said sit down the pattern of your beliefs in that regard, or set down. Because if you don't do that, for no matter what I may show you, you will only believe and continue what you already believe. Or you'll only hear, you'll change everything I say to accommodate your beliefs. Actually, you probably don't believe your beliefs either. You believe the pattern of your beliefs. The pattern of the beliefs that there is a oneness, a one creator, a good, right, wrong, there is a judger of yourself and life, and etc., etc., etc. And that the world is greater, bigger than you are. And that you must accommodate the universe no matter what.
I see, right. So any new data doesn't matter because it just goes on to that pattern, which is essentially the same result.
And you will synonym it till it fits your pattern. You won't listen to a goddamn thing. So the question is, how do we resolve that problem? Or how do I get you, as I've always started out every gathering with, leave your old beliefs outside, which nobody was willing to do, because you argued with me, well, I believe this, well, what about that? No, you won't let go of that long enough to even hear what I'm talking about. So now what?
So how do you let go?
You what?
How do you let go long enough?
Well, let's say, answer this question. Is it possible for you to believe two completely different patterns at the same time, that though they oppose, they actually suscitate? And if you're looking that one up, Simone, it's suscitate.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
I don't know what it
is. And if you don't find that one, look up resuscitate, because it's part of the word resuscitate, and the word is actually suscitate. Resuscitate means to bring alive again. You're dying and I resuscitate you. Suscitate means to enliven you in the first place. Wait a minute, suscitate means you ain't even been alive and we're suscitating you. Is everybody okay with that? Is everybody rushed to the dictionary?
Not now, thank you for the explanation.
You're not clicking that up on your dictionary on your laptop?
Not me.
Okay, suscitate. We're going to get into that in a minute, but not very fully, because we're going to get into that after we get through with the present series of things. We'll get into suscitate. So the question is, are you willing to hold two completely different and seemingly opposing beliefs or patterns at the same time? Ewan says, well, how do I let go of a belief? Well, can't you just set it over here and listen? I don't ask you to get rid of your belief. Is it possible? But you guys have listened for years, but you've never heard me say you have to change your beliefs. I may argue with your beliefs, but I never said you had to change them.
Okay.
we okay with this, or has everybody gone boggle mind somewhere?
Following along.
Okay. So, if you have if you are two entirely different beings in communion, could you not have two entirely different patterns of belief in communion without an opposing problem? And in that case, could you not look at each system or each event by standing in, let's say, eternal being position and eternal being beliefs, and see one perspective of what's going on, or stand in personal self shoes with personal self beliefs and see the same thing from a different perspective? And if you do that, is it possible that out of that, like water of hydrogen and oxygen, that there would be unusual properties that would be emergent in every situation? Two individuals, two separate patterns of beliefs, would you not then, of course everybody understands what emergent is, doesn't it? Don't they?
Maybe not.
So, for Yvonne's sake and for the fix your mind on this review, the properties of water, such as flowability, wetness, cohesion, all these properties of water do not occur in the constituent parts of hydrogen, nor do they exist in the constituent parts of oxygen. Yet if I put hydrogen and oxygen together, the properties are emergent. Is it possible then that, let me see now, wait just a minute now. Is it possible then for you to consider that your eternal being is emergent from the communion of body and personal being? And if you can understand that, then can you understand that your illuminated being is emergent from the communion of personal being and eternal being?
Say the first one again, Roger.
What?
Just say the first one again. I didn't catch which being it was.
Personal being and body.
Oh. And who emerged from that?
Wait a minute. Have I ever brought this up to you, Andrew? You as a personal being, never do anything. Your body does everything.
Right.
You function your body, but the body does everything, not you.
Right. Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, so far. So that it is the communion between personal being and body that creates an emergent, which is, in fact, your eternal being. Because your eternal being is not a part of your body, like the flowability, the properties of water do not exist in any of the constituents, then eternal being as a property, as an emergent property of the communion, does not exist in the body, you'll agree. Body dies, rots, and goes to hell. And
you know, Rod, I gotta ask you about that, because I would not have explained it that way to someone. I thought that the eternal being starts, created, just the dream pattern we've been following is starts, created, you know, perpetuate, or something, the personal being, and that's where it starts. It's like it starts the ball rolling.
Yes and no, but when you start there, you see what you're doing is you're fixating on the God pattern of the creation, and that pattern then is the oneness, the beingness, the beginningness of all things in your life. And you've made eternal being then in that way God in your life. And God controls you as eternal being controls you as you've made it that way.
I think I understand that. I think Pat probably understands that because I've heard some of you guys dialogue about it. I'm just speaking for you, Pat. But so, then why do we even say that it starts the personal being?
What? I didn't say it starts with the personal being. I just started there.
No, I'm saying, why do you say the eternal being does something personal being?
What?
You didn't?
Well, let me put it this way. If we're talking about patterns in this way, would you suppose that it would be possible to alive God that doesn't exist? Because we're not making God as in the story exist, but the story in that regard has created a pattern which may or may not be desirable. But then is it possible for you to alive something that does not exist?
Yeah, and that's what we're doing with the eternal being, I thought.
That's right. But you see, I'll wait just a minute now. But what you went on to was the eternal being started it all, and so therefore, then I could say I'm enlivening the eternal being, or unfolding the eternal being. But enlivening or unfolding has a prior existence involved in it. Could you alive something that does not exist? And doesn't that pattern of a creation story alive God that doesn't even exist? Worse than that, if we can say that, doesn't that story alive a God that doesn't exist? And could that which you alive then either serve you or defeat you? And it doesn't even exist.
Is this different than things that exist but have no life without existence?
Well, we'll get there in a moment. We're even going beyond that and say, is it possible to life something that doesn't even exist? You got to speak up, Ewan. If you're going to ask me a question, everybody's got to hear it.
But then I'm wondering, looking at the personal being, how does a person being come into existence?
How about it? What we said before is that the person, like your self-image, the personal being is alived, I'll say that in that way, is brought to life by the eternal being.
But then the personal and the body emerge the eternal, but the eternal brings
I never said emerged. Don't ever use that word to me.
Okay. It's emerging.
Emerging is just as bad. You see, you don't understand emergent.
Okay. I guess I don't.
That's right. Because any form of emerge or emerging out of or unfolding or enlivening presumes prior existence. What if your eternal being has no prior existence. Is that okay with you?
Hey, Roger, let's say it is. Then I want to say one back to you. Let's assume that personal being has no prior existence.
Okay.
And let's assume that body has no prior existence.
Okay.
I think I understand you now.
Because then you get to alive an eternal being that had no prior existence. And aliving that eternal being that had no prior existence functions as you desire in your life today for you. Okay with that?
What about past lives? An eternal being.
Okay, let's recall about that. Then in past lives, each past life enliven or alives a personal being that has no existence.
I guess I don't understand.
Yeah, I know that because you see, you won't get out of your beliefs of this cause and effect structure of language in that regard.
Roger?
What, Alina?
How is the data carried over?
What is what?
The data from the past lives.
Well.
In other words, if I don't have that data and it has that data, then where does that come from?
But. I never said any of that, but. Let's assume. Could you then not alive an eternal being to have that data?
That data which didn't prior exist.
Which is what?
That data which did not prior exist.
Well, it had to exist.
Well, in a sense, it doesn't exist.
Wait, no, I'm sorry, you're right. The data existed, but that information did not prior exist. The patterning of that.
Ah, you're getting there. Okay.
Okay, I got you.
And if we use the word aliving something, would you allow me to suscitate as a way or function in all of this?
Sure, why not? Make up another word, Roger. We're good.
Okay, so resuscitate in that regard is to bring alive again. Suscitate means to alive that which did not already exist.
Okay.
The reapplies, I bring it alive. It was existing. Suscitate, in that regard, means to alive that which did not even exist.
Roger?
Helena?
On a cellular basis, would that have, forget the cellular basis, would that have anything to do with the emergence of the G, you know, S, G, H from the X, Y, Z?
What?
Like the water. Water coming from hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah, so what about it?
So is that the type of thing that you're talking about, or this is just like wholly new?
Well, no, it's, when I say emergent, that's what I mean in that regard, that you're livening something that is not even within you.
Okay.
Because the properties, let's say, of wetness do not exist in the constituents of hydrogen and oxygen. So the property of eternal being does not exist within the personal being. It doesn't exist within the body.
But it does exist within the constituents.
Does not exist within the constituents of personal being or body.
Okay.
But it is emergent from the interaction between, or the communion, let's say, rather than the interaction. The communion of personal being and body in that regard, then the emergent of that is an eternal being. See, what you all have been doing is assuming that eternal being was a prior existence.
Right.
Okay, but can, what if that's not true, and I give it existence in this lifetime, and I give it a prior existence that I truly desire in this lifetime, so that then in that I am emergenting that, and I am that.
Yep, and it emergented me.
That's right.
Let me see if I got this, Roger. So the only way, well, not the only way, a way to stay out of this pattern of language trap
is to get out of it.
Okay, but I can start with any of these characters that I want, but I never have one creating the other. They're all, each one's emergent. It just depends on where you want to focus.
Well, yes and no, but the underlying pattern of that is self-replicating particles, in which a particle replicates particles that replicate the original particle. Replicate an eternal self that replicates you, that replicates the eternal self. And that is a continuous pattern. It is not a pattern of beginning and end. So you jump into, as long as that pattern exists and you understand that, you jump into it anywhere you want to. And you can modify is not the word. Following that pattern, you can set any role in any of the positions of that self-replicating particle, and you, wait a minute, that means enlightenment and wisdom and profound understanding has nothing whatever to do with what you know. It has only to do with knowing the patterns of things. You can accumulate information and data and be stupider than shit, but you can understand the simplest pattern, like, wait a minute, let me see now. If that's true, that particles replicate particles which replicate the original particle, and if that is a pattern, a fundamental pattern of the universe, which it seems to be, then that holds in every situation. No matter who the players are, that pattern, now, when we say replicates in that regard, replicates emergently, if you want to, or is emergent. But the importance of that in being emergent is that what is emergent does not exist in the constituents. Therefore, your eternal self is not a higher self of you. It doesn't exist within you. You are free to create the eternal self such in a way that creates you. See how simple that is? And the universe gives you that pattern and displays that pattern in everything.
Okay, I got two questions for you.
Okay.
First of all, I need a refresher on where in the universe I can find these self-replicating particles. I mean, that's a pattern somewhere, but I don't know where. It's not like weather or something.
Science has shown self-replicating particles.
Okay, is that subatomic or just anywhere?
Well, the point of all of this is you can go with quantum physics to start with, because the pattern, let me see now, wait a minute, didn't somebody say as below, so above?
Yeah.
So as in quantum, so is it in macro.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to observe this in the subatomic. In case somebody asked me, that's why I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay, subatomic. Okay, second thing. You know, when you started this, you said that as long as, what we were talking about, as long as we keep putting everything on the language pattern, we stay trapped.
Right.
Okay, so I realized just now as we're talking, I do that. I actually saw myself do that every time I don't know what to do with something, I put it back on the pattern of language to make a picture of that.
That's right, but I told you that when you don't know what it is you're describing or talking about, you fall back or default to language.
Right.
And that doesn't help you. By defaulting to language, since you're so accustomed to do that, you are relaxed, and maybe your thinking is happy and won't give you a headache, but you then don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, here's what I need. I always have one pattern to fall back on with language. It's the same pattern. It's like I can put almost anything on it. I'm not saying I'm right, it just saying it makes, I use that to try and make sense. My question for you is, I don't know, after 15 years of forever living, is there one pattern that I should fall back on to understand anything we're talking about in a different way? Like self-replicating particles sounds like a good one, but I don't know if that's always the one that we're applying.
Well, what I've said is that if you would understand not the thing and stuff of personal being, eternal being, but understand the pattern of body, personal being, eternal being, then you would find that that pattern, it, like chaos theory, is repeated throughout the universe.
Okay. So you're telling me if we're talking about events, I can put that pattern, like we've been doing with dreams, I can put that pattern on the events and have a better understanding?
If you are willing to understand the players of any event. See, your part of your problem is you take a big event and you've got too big a cast for you to understand. You've taken too much of an event. You're not reducing the event or the situation or your relationship to the event down to a pattern cast of characters so that you can see in that event who's doing what to whom.
Right. I mean, usually things are happening so fast that event is gone.
I don't care about that. You can then contemplate upon after the fact the event to understand. And as you begin to understand, just as quickly as you treat every pattern as a cause pattern, a good, right, wrong pattern, etc., if you would begin to see this pattern and change this pattern as the basis of your understanding, you would understand just as quickly as if I punch you in the mouth, you would say, that's bad.
Right. Okay. Roger.
Somebody call my... What?
It would seem that any attempt to understand what's been going on in my life, according to, let's say, simply the forward arrow of time,
screws you.
Will not do anything well for me.
Not at all, because if you understand the pattern, it is forward and backward. And language doesn't allow for that.
But then, in that sense, then it is. I don't know if we've ever established or you've shown us a term that works, but there is this sense then that every new now, for lack of a better term for the moment, is the point of reference. It's always new every instant.
But there is no now. Everything that you think is new in every instant is past. Now, how many times do I have to repeat that? Because you can't understand anything in the now, and you can't understand anything in the future, but you can understand everything in the past.
But the screen against which I understand the past...
What?
This, let's say the pattern against which I understand the past, is that constant?
That's what I said. This is a constant pattern in the universe that allows you to really, really understand yourself and the events in the universe. That's correct. It's a constant. And as a constant, it allows you to understand, but the pattern doesn't, because it is self-referential in this way, forwards and backwards, it doesn't interfere with you. It sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. And it sounds like a self-referential conflict, but it's not. It merely says that one functions in a certain way. Self-referential is a trap of language, because language is always only language forward, events forward. And it's the language forward, events forward, that creates the oxymoron, or creates the lack of understanding. The universe is not to be tied to language forward, or the past, present, and future of language structure.
I'm trying to get a handle on the self-replicating particle, self-replicating itself, that replicates the original particle. That, I guess, I keep on wanting to see that happen in time. And maybe that's the problem.
Well, let's assume this. If you can't see that in time, by the way, Patrick, when you read my email, that's what I'm asking you in paragraph 9 and 10. What the fuck are you doing? And you see, you didn't answer that question. Now, from this kind of conversation, if you can begin to tell me what you're doing in paragraph 9 and 10, you begin to tell yourself what your life is all about. Okay. Enough of that aside. Let's put it this way. Could you understand the act and fact of your creating past lives, which then create you? Sustain you, confirm you. You are at, why sure, those are my past lives, they're just like I am. Can you understand that?
And yes, but I have to ask a question. That is, does that mean that I'm not remembering past lives, I'm making them up?
Thank you kindly. Because as I've said before, they are your past lives, but they're not you, and you didn't live them. Wait a minute. That's great. If you made it up, damn it, you could make up any past life at any time that you wanted and be that. Which I think is the point of the story you're telling me. Does it make more sense now?
Yeah, and then I'm also figuring here that when I have done what I have referred to as past life readings, I've made those up.
I've said that. I told Karen's mother that.
different kind of making up, though, isn't it?
Yes, it's an entirely different kind of making up. But I even, in my introduction to the past lives, have said as follows, that they are not in sequential order. And a life itself that I tell you about may be a piece of this and a part of that and something else put together. Because it's the pattern of the life that is important, not the acts and facts of the life. Is that okay?
Well, that says that patterns that, excuse me, that pre-exist.
Is that what?
You're picking up, in doing a past life reading, then you're picking up on patterns and stitching them together, but patterns that pre-exist.
Oh, but the pattern can exist. Well, let me ask you this question, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to say that you are alive only as you are known?
As I am known?
K-N-O-W-N.
By whom?
Didn't answer the question. Are you willing to say that you are alive only as you are known? And in fact is, you have a body and you do things only for the purpose of being known and only for the purpose of, in that, being alive. How's that grab your ass?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so then, wait just a minute. If that means that, then you're making up past lives in order to be known in that way. For you to know yourself, you must make up the lives in the way and the manner in which you choose to be known. And then, wait just a minute now, and then you do things in order to display yourself to others in the way you want to be known.
I'm familiar with that.
You what?
I'm familiar with that.
That's right. But the problem was you weren't fully understanding that you get to alive yourself in the get-go, however it is. Well, wait a minute. That means that having a body or form or matter is vitally important, because without that you can't be known. So without a body of some form or nature, wait a minute, that means then that the eternal being could exist, maybe, but without a form could not be alive. You give form to your eternal being or to your past in order to alive yourself today by giving form to yourself. Replicating particle, little bugger you are. You okay with that, Patrick?
Yep, I'm following along.
So, now go back and answer 9 and 10 and give me the answers, or give me the thing. Tell me what you're doing. Don't talk about it in conclusions. I hear enough conclusions from Iman. I don't want conclusions. I want to know... I'm kidding here. I want to know what it is that you are doing. Describe the acts and facts of what you are doing. And so therefore, in the same way, understand the... Wait a minute. You don't understand what you're doing. You're understanding the pattern of what you're doing. What you do doesn't matter. The pattern of what you do is everything.
Hey, Roger.
Yes, Andrew.
So, Okay, but I can't just describe the pattern per se, right? I need some form or some expression to tell that, to know that pattern.
That's right, but that's why when Patrick didn't understand so much particles replicating particles, I switched to the you replicating past lives to create you today.
I got you. So when you go, but the thing is, it sounds like the pattern's the important thing. So for me to answer that question of what I'm doing, I just need to answer it at least one way. And now I'm not stuck on that one way so long as I understand what the pattern is revealed.
Wait a minute. If that's the case, then it doesn't matter in life what you do. Only that you live the pattern that you truly desire in life to live. Then, then you could be a records clerk, or you could be a speaker, or you could be an eco person. You could be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. The act and fact of the way you express that pattern doesn't matter, because the pattern of your living as you truly desire governs everything.
Oh, well, you see, that's well timed, because I was just about to have a big throwdown with you about that. I can keep listing these things and listing these things and listing these things, but I mean, I just found no end to the things I could say I'm doing.
That's right. But then from that, there is, put those things or any one of those things on the pattern of personal being, eternal being, self-replicating particles, and past lives replicating you today. It's all the same pattern. Put that on that pattern, and then you begin to understand the truth of Andrew, which has nothing to do with eco guy or lawyer or Indian chief. It doesn't matter, does it?
No, I guess
so. So, wait a minute. If that means that, is then that... if there is a oneness or a godness or a rightness, then you got to do the right thing. If there's not, then you can live anything as long as you are living the pattern that you truly desire.
Okay, so I guess I just didn't understand what about 3 to 5 years ago when we were doing those like declared self or those I Ching or any of those things, you were just trying to give us a basic pattern without necessarily limiting it to a true expression.
And not only did I do that, I said that if you want to understand somebody else, you can lend them your pattern.
Declared self, yes. Yeah.
You ready? So then you would begin to see and understand them, because it's the pattern that is important, not what you do to express that pattern.
Oh, I see. But without an expression, all of us kept saying, yeah, but what do I do?
That's right.
Well, okay.
But we've got to get you to this point of understanding, let's say, self-replicating particles in this way, and then also understanding, because then we put that into a more personal thing that you can understand, such as in personal being, body, eternal being, etc., and past lives. It all follows the same pattern. So then it doesn't matter, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. But if what you're doing is you're not following that pattern, but if you are following the God pattern, good, right, better, best, you're going to lose out. No matter what you do, you are in deep caca. And I think we show that through billions and billions of people who are in disarray with themselves, because it's what they want to do. It's the thing of the doing. No. It's the pattern of who and what you are.
Okay.
So, as I said before, do you suppose it is possible for something to be alive that doesn't even exist?
Well,
have to question, how is resuscitated different from make it up?
Well, make it up in that regard doesn't say that it ever existed. Resuscitate means I am bringing it back to alive that was already there. You are not bringing your eternal self back to being alive. You are making it alive that was never alive before. In that way.
Yeah. In that way.
In that way means, now remember, if we say you are only alive as you are known, then say it was never alive in that way means that way is how it is known, then it's never really been alive. Hello, anybody out there, world, do you understand this? Yes, my son, we're very pleased.
Is it possible to be alive without being alive?
Yes.
Good, thank you.
And it's also possible to be alive without having been alive. So the question is, do you create God or do you alive God? Because you keep in the same way, do you create God in your life? We've gone through all the games and the synonyms and word manipulations to try to say that I create God in my life or in my world as I want. Well, you know, the presumption of that is that God already exists. Is it possible that you alive God that doesn't even exist?
I think the answer has to be yes.
So you're suscitating God, not resuscitating God.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, you see? How important it is to use the word alive, which is an adjective, and use it as a verb. You alive God. You alive your eternal self. Okay, if you alive God, or anything else, like God or eternal self, can you benefit by what you alive, but it doesn't even exist? See, it doesn't fit with language. Because in language, you would say it has to exist for you to benefit from it. But no. You can alive something that doesn't even exist. Do you remember a while back when we talked about concept? Can you alive a concept of God and God doesn't exist and benefit from the concept of God, even though God still doesn't exist? Can you alive a concept of your eternal self or even yourself as being eternal and benefit from that, even though that which you just alived as an eternal self doesn't exist and never has existed, but does exist as you alive it? Could the universe be, really, when you stop and think about it, wouldn't you say the universe would have to be that immense? I mean, this straight language thinking of the universe does this and that occurs and this causes that and it follows the sequence ad infinitum. Whoa! That narrows the universe down to being a pissant piece of crap. Can you alive that which doesn't exist and benefit from that which does not exist? And if you say yes, my question to you is, can you alive that which doesn't exist and essentially destroy yourself by what doesn't exist?
Well, you go back to God again. It depends on how you alive it, eh?
No, don't use aliven. Because aliven implies that it does exist and you resuscitate it in some way or another.
I said it all depends on how you alive.
Okay, alright. But I just, be careful, don't say enliven it. How you alive it. Well, wait a minute. If it's important how you alive it, then being alive depends on being known.
So it will only be benefit or detrimental depending on how I know it.
You see? So then the question is it possible for you then to alive yourself as you truly desire?
No, that gets too hard.
Huh? But what you're aliving is the pattern of yourself, not the thing of yourself. The pattern of the thing allows you to be doctor, lawyer, Indian chief.
Roger?
Whoever is saying, calling my name, yes?
Okay, it's Helena. I've got a question. What do you mean by alive? Do you mean living as in breathing?
What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to use a word that is like create, but is not create. And that it is kind of like enliven. But enliven implies something that has exists, and I'm bringing it into bloom some way. And then when you get to understanding the word alive, I want to move your idea of that to suscitate. Because suscitate, in a sense, means to alive that, or revive, will allow that. Resuscitate means to revive something that never existed.
So we're not talking about a creation, you're talking about alive.
Okay. And when you understand that, then what we're going to get into, because this is just sort of an introduction, because it's all tangled up with dreams and the patterns of dreams and what's going on. I want to get into a discussion of meditation versus suscitation. Meditation is to quiet the mind. Suscitation is to be actively involved. And when you quiet your mind through meditation, and you're supposed to get this great awareness, it's all a tangled language piece of crap in that regard. Suscitate, be alive, be awakened, see, know, understand what's going on. Because now you have the patterns and the tools for understanding. And your mind, they call monkey mind, if we want to talk about Buddhism for a moment, that is, thoughts are going every which way. Yeah, but you know, you can not quiet your mind by getting rid of your thoughts. You can suscitate your mind to quiet by following a constant and consistent pattern. Monkey mind or thoughts without a pattern that makes sense to you. and all you do is you take the say, and all I've said for all these years, have you not ever really considered that monkey mind is your higher self trying to get in touch with you? Pay attention. Don't quiet it. You just threw it all away. Now what I'm trying to get you to do is to understand the pattern of and how to alive your eternal self so that all those thoughts fall into that pattern and make perfect sense. But that's not tonight. That's later on, and then we'll get into a whole lot of stuff. I mean, maybe we will. You might. I might get emails saying, "Ho hum."
Roger. Another question is: the overall pattern of your mind also reflected in the pattern of like learning and other things? That pattern is repeated.
Wait, wait, wait! I didn't hear the word. You sounded like burning.
No, no, I got myself stuck in a grave, sorry.
Oh, okay. Let's put it this way. Instead of talking about the pattern of the mind, are you willing to pattern your mind?
Oh.
Okay. Can you be threatened or destroyed by what you alive, even if that doesn't exist?
No, because you alived it. It's you aliving.
Aliving it does not mean bring it into existence.
Right.
So, can you be threatened or destroyed by what you alive, even if that does not exist?
I guess you could.
Okay. So.
But now that you explain, I'm clearer now.
Okay, but don't just say. You see, we're so happy to say, if you are alive, you must exist. But I'm not using that as an adjective in that regard. I'm using it as you alive something that doesn't exist.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. I get it.
Maybe it suscitate, we can alive an eternal self that doesn't exist and bring that to be me and benefit me.
Yep.
Whereas in meditation, what you're doing is an attempting to destroy or eliminate self, get rid of you for some higher purpose. I can say the words of scrap shit. I can suscitate myself all along the way. All
right.
Are you then willing to accept that from all of this, that to alive something is to make it known? Nothing more, nothing less. And is it possible to suscitate your eternal self in making it known to you? And then being that your actions in your life then make it known to others. And that affirms and confirms who you are.
Okay.
Whew. Let's see then. I went through that.
Okay.
So we're saying then in this, you don't create your eternal being. You alive your eternal being.
Okay.
And then following the same sort of pattern that we've been talking about here, then your illuminated being is the communion between eternal self and personal self. Wait a minute. If you don't alive in eternal self, then you are stuck on the rung of personal being, and you are not actively communioning the personal being and eternal being. So you're not, let's allow me this, creating the illuminated being, which is really just an emergent property of that interaction. Wait a minute. Eternal self is by default existent. Aha! That means then that if we alive eternal being as I truly desire, then in that way, then emergently I am aliving an illuminated being as I truly desire. Now that wasn't too difficult, was it?
Schizophrenic as hell in doing that, right?
A little. The only difference is what I'm doing, instead of going like two different personalities in schizophrenic, what I'm doing in this is saying, and I'm not using the word simultaneous, I'm just showing how one creates the other, which creates the original one. I'm going backwards and forwards in time and in the flow of language, but in order to do that, I have to describe it as best I can.
But there are two distinct... We're not getting rid of one entity here, are we?
No. In fact, what we're doing is we're maintaining both entities. And both entities could have entirely... Like oxygen is different than hydrogen, they could have entirely different beliefs and understandings and all sorts of ways of functioning. They could be entirely different, but yet communion together, I can see one from one position and the other from the other position, and communion together, what is emergent is something far greater than any one of the constituent parts themselves. The question is, are you willing to be what you do not know?
Okay.
You see, your problem is you've been sticking your head in the sand and saying you pick and choose yourself in that way, only from what you already know. So you're living by memories that are defeating you. Are you willing to be what you do not know? Well, if you are, then maybe we could say that what you alive through suscitation, are you willing to be that because you don't know it? Well, I should say you don't know it, but you'll find out about it, and then are you willing to be that? Or will you let your beliefs deny everything and say, the only thing that can be real is what I already believe? I guess if we get into that, we have to ask the question, do your beliefs and the pattern of your beliefs serve you as you truly desire?
No.
That's right. Your beliefs put the screws to you. The question is, do your beliefs, as you believe them to be, do they serve you at all? Because the beliefs that you believe, that you've been taught, which you've followed, which you've lived, what you've struggled with, is based on those creation stories. And the pattern of that creation story is the pattern of your beliefs. Well, How have they been working for you?
Oh, gosh, that... Even if they don't work...
They don't work for you. Is it possible your beliefs only serve themselves? And, since your beliefs might be stronger than what you know, if you suscitate and in that alive your eternal self and experience that and come to know that, which will you live? Will you live your beliefs or what you know and have experienced? Or which will govern? Or will you live them both? And how and in what way will you live them both? I guess the question is this. Are you willing to be what you believe, what you already believe, and also how you want to be known? See how simple that is?
How simple it is, but how do I resuscitate something I don't know that I want to be known by?
The same way as you create a dream. You didn't know how you did it, and it created a dream, and the same process of dreaming is much the same. Well, let me put it this way. When we get into this, and it may be a little ways away, I was thinking this afternoon, it's all illustrated in the first two chapters of my book. That is book 4C and 5C. I was thinking, gee, and I refer to that, but it's not up on the web yet. But I was going to finish editing it and get it up on the web. And I'm really thinking about doing is when we get there and start discussing suscitation in that way, you'll say, what the fuck are you talking about? I was thinking about reading two chapters of the book to say, that's what I'm talking about. In other words, the chapters and the events going on and etc. so fully and completely describe this suscitation that I'm talking about that then you begin to see, know, and understand it. For me to keep talking about it doesn't get it across. So, I was thinking today, well, I'll just, instead of referring them to 4C, man, I'll just read the damn thing. Does that sound reasonable?
Sure does.
And I'll even tell you ahead of time if I'm going to do it this next week. Not this next week, but at one time says I'm going to do this. So those who do not want to know or hear about suscitation or anything of that nature, don't tune in. Okay.
Okay.
So the question is, if I understand this, if you are what you believe yourself to be, won't that lessen you? In other words, to not be lessened, in this regard, you're lessened because you're lessened down to only what you believe. So, to expand you, I have to get you out of what you already believe. That's what dreams do. That's why I'm bringing this whole thing in now in discussion of dreams that we're talking about. Dreams are like suscitating in that regard in an attempt to show you or to for you to alive yourself in an entirely different way. So that as long as you are as you believe you are, you lessen yourself, repeat yourself, and in that lose yourself. That's paragraph 9, Patrick.
Yep, I'll look at it.
That's right. Now the question is, what do you do in paragraph 9, or excuse me, what is it that you have done or are willing to resuscitate in paragraph 9, and explain that to me? 30 or 40 pages will be okay.
Okay, Yeah, we just won't keep it to one paragraph.
Okay. Now, are you willing to be how you want to be? And how you want to be known? Have you never thought about that? The longer you struggle to be what you want to be, to become what you want and how you want to be known, you're screwing yourself. See and know that underlying pattern and live that underlying pattern in everything that you do, or else. Okay, how was that? Well, we got a half an hour. So, what do you, what?
How do you find that underlying pattern?
What?
How do you find that?
I just gave you the underlying pattern. Follow that pattern in your life. But you see, you've missed 3 or 4 weeks. Don't blame me. Okay, guys. Let's see. What I want to go over a dream to show you how. Or let me see if I want to go over that one. I'm going to go over a short one first because we're running out of time. Is everybody ready to see the pattern in all of this?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the dream. It's from the 70s. I'm at home, reading a history book in the living room. The room is quiet, beautifully still. I hear a soft voice calling my name. The voice came from behind me, but seems to fill the room. "Who's there?" I asked. The voice repeated my name. I turned around. No one was there, but the voice whispered my name for a third time. I stood up and began to float throughout the entire house, room to room, the voice calling my name. Filled every room, but no one was to be found. Only after hearing the voice in several different rooms did I realize that it sounded like my voice. It was mine, and I listened. Okay. Anybody want to deal with the pattern? You first of all, if you're going to break this down, you have to get rid of all my crap that I added on there so we can look at who or what are the participants, who's playing what role. Anybody want to give a try at who is playing what role in that story? And it would sound, if you're going to understand that, you have to decide the role of voice and then overlay the role of voice over the pattern of eternal being, personal being, body, whatever we want to call it.
Roger?
Yes?
It's Selena. Okay. For me, I immediately went to you within the body as possibly being the body, with the voice being eternal being, or the possibility of that.
Okay, so then, is everybody okay with that for a minute? Are you willing to say, well, let's look at it, the voice as your eternal self?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, then, who or what am I in the dream?
Either body or personal being.
Okay. Or I'm an embodied personal being.
Pardon? I didn't hear that.
I just put the two together and say I'm an embodied personal being.
Okay. Because that's the one thing that's taking the action, if you will. The stood up. Yeah.
Okay. We okay with that? Then what is that whole... If voice is the eternal self, tell me what that dream is talking about.
That you're hearing your eternal being, you're sensing your eternal being, and you're looking for it within yourself.
And no, I'm actually not looking within myself. I'm looking everywhere around me, in my environment. You see, you have to follow the dream.
You're acting, or I would say the word aliving that, because you're moving, you're standing up, and you're moving from one place to another, room to room to room to room. So you're actually moving, I don't know if the word is expanding out or going beyond just the place where you were staying, not hearing anything.
But
or maybe adding
all of that within the same house, or the same self, or the same environment of myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, then, what?
So you're actually communing eternal self. The fact that you're even listening, because you're listening. You heard a voice. You're the one that's the listening. And in that is the aliving, and then the aliving by standing up, and then all these rooms you're going to, if you will.
Okay.
Am I going too far, Roger?
No, you're doing fine, because what you're doing is you're maintaining the same. Here's what I have listed down here. Voice is your calling or purpose in life. Then you follow the same pattern. You get a greater understanding of that myself and that dream. Voice is your eternal self. Voice is communion itself. Voice of God. A still small voice within you.
Right.
Then we can say it's listening to your body. Listening to your true beliefs. Listening to your true self. Hey, by the way, when I use the true self, now you got to be careful about this, because it's come up. When I say your true self, I do not mean a true self is synonymous with eternal self as opposed to personal self. We okay with that?
Related to truly living as you truly desire, kind of concept.
Well, the true self is emergent from the communion of the eternal and the personal.
Okay.
You see, but religion has set true self, and everything is based on that. There is a true self that you're living your false material self, or the illusion of yourself, etc., and that there is a true self. No. True self is the emergent property of living your eternal self in communion with your personal self.
So it doesn't pre-exist.
Doesn't pre-exist. And it does not exist in either one of the constituents.
Right. Got it.
The listening could also be listening to your emotions or listening to the past. And if you then follow all of this same pattern, and we just change the voice to a different role in the story, or listening, which seems to be an important part of this dream, as I change each one of those to a different aspect or a different role and maintain the pattern, I get a different, greater, other, infinite number of understandings out of this, do I not?
Yes.
Okay, now if that's the case, then that begins to demonstrate that the pattern gives you a constancy but never limits or controls you.
Right. And then in any role that's switched around in there, those still will always be a constancy of true self as emergent. Is that true?
I'm not too sure I heard what you said.
No matter what roles, whether the voice is eternal self or personal being or whatever, the pattern, and I'll say, will always have emergent true self.
Only in the that's why I have to establish the roles. Only in the communion or interaction between eternal self role and personal self role.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if we treat the voice then as an eternal self and me as a personal self, it's the interaction between the voice of me speaking to myself in that way of what I truly desire. That then is the communion between the two, which creates the emergent property of myself.
Well, Roger.
Yes.
Then, is there, since the pattern that you're talking about then applies to any role that you want to, or any facet that you want to assign a role in that pattern, is there? Does that dream, did you serve yourself up that dream so that you know all things? Or did you serve yourself up that dream in order because something was important for you to look at?
Well, in the 70s, I served up that dream to me. The first line of it as an incipit, I am at home reading a history book in the living room as the incipit. Now, if that's what it's talking to me about as the incipit in the way and the manner in which we were mostly treating dreams at that time, then that tells me about myself. What do you suppose was going on from that incipit? What do you suppose was going on?
Whether or not you should rely on your history, or whether you should listen to something else.
You see? but the history in my own home, I had my office in my house, and the house in the house, and etc. So it was all at the same time and place in this regard. But the question is, which should I listen to? What I was doing, or the voice or the calling? Or is the voice and the calling in and of what I was doing?
Right.
Sure.
Well, it seems that the dream, the listening, took you away from reading.
It took me away from, wait just a minute now. If it took me away from history book, gee, that's kind of like past life reading, isn't it?
Oh, it's kind of like memory.
You see? It's kind of like create your own past. If you understand the past, pattern. If you understand the pattern, you will soon begin to understand. Remember I said create the past before this lifetime. Because if you create the past before this lifetime, it can never be challenged. If you create the past in this lifetime, it can always be challenged. But
it wouldn't matter.
What?
Go ahead.
Well, now I'll add the but. But you will find that if you create the past before this lifetime, like past lives and etc. and all of that kind of stuff, then that who is who you are today and explains everything in your past in this lifetime. Got that?
Could you repeat that?
I said last week that in creating your past, be sure to create the past before this lifetime. Nobody can challenge you on that. So create the past you want, like creating past lives, the past you want, the visions, the images, everything you want, of a past prior to this lifetime. Nobody can challenge you. If that bleeds over into this lifetime, I can challenge you to defend anything you say about yourself, and you will lose that battle. Now what I'm saying is that if you create the past life before this life, that will complete, you don't understand it yet, but you will if we ever get through all of this stuff. That alone, creating that prior past life in that regard, will explain and confirm everything in your life today.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
So, then the idea is, in all of this, and in with every dream and everything you're doing, is understand the pattern of your life, the pattern of yourself, how do you want to be known, the pattern of the universe and replicating particles and etc., and use that as a, wait a minute, back when we were talking about the holographic universe, we talked about, gee, your encode and your decode key. That pattern is your encode and decode of your holographic life for understanding yourself and everything in your life. Your key is your pattern. Okay?
Okay.
For those who remember the holographic gathering. Well, okay, I got a longer dream. We don't have time to get into that, so we'll quit right there.
Okay.
And anybody that is so involved in and enamored with meditation, who doesn't want to hear at all about cessation in that regard, well, send me a note, will you please, so I'll be able to let you know ahead of time when we're going to talk about that, so you don't have to listen.
Okay.
Okay, well, we'll call it a closure right there.
Okay.